Welcome to episode 162 of Both Down, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
Coming to you from the Fey Forest. Ooh.
Oh, so scary.
I wasn't going for scary, but okay.
So scary that there's little people that live there. I am Scott Prime, and laughing Steve Kilowoggy Campbell.
How is it going?
Well, right now, if you're listening to this, we are in the middle of Oklahoma Bowl round one, and we're stressing out.
God, we've been stressing out for a while.
Steve's had to repair twice.
No. Let's not.
That's not possible.
let's not jinx it, okay? Knock on wood.
Before round one. So, howdy, Steve.
Hello.
So we're going to talk about some... how's it going? Isn't that what you asked me?
I guess. I mean, we don't have to talk about stuff.
It's going, I guess, okay, if you take away that I lost an aunt last night.
Ah, that's a good point, yeah.
So, cancer. So, that happened. And yeah. I was told yesterday morning for Easter breakfast that she only had 12 to 14 months to live. And then later that night, as I was playing board games with some friends, I found out she passed away. So
she was just like, let's speed run this shit.
What's that?
She was just like, let's speed run this shit. I don't have 14 months to wait.
Well, I found out that everybody in my family except me and Jennifer knew about 6 weeks ago. So
oh.
I wasn't too happy to find out that knowledge, but I also know that somebody passed away and everybody's stressed out. So now's not the time to
bring it up. Yeah.
I probably won't even bring it up. I might down the line just go like, hey, you forgot us, because got to see my aunt on my birthday with my dad's side of the family when we went bowling and did video games and stuff, but they scooted out a little bit early and I had no idea that like those same, she was not feeling good then.
Yeah.
And I would have, love to have officially said goodbye on the last visit I saw her if I would have known this was coming, because I didn't know her cancer came back. I thought she was been a couple years free of it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, at least you so had that a good memory to end with, that, you know.
That part sucks. Yeah. But here we are. Life moves on. And just a too bad another reminder that you need to tell people you love them while you can see them. And maybe let other people know if they're gonna go.
Yeah.
So.
Nothing so exciting on my end, thankfully.
Well, so. It's not so exciting, but it is what it is. So yeah. We have that going on. And yeah, it's Oklahoma Day, Oklahoma Bowl weekend. That if you're listening to this right now, in the future for me and Steve, in the past for you, or however in the present. And we get to talk about gnomes finally.
Yeah. We've had this for a little while, and it's been interesting, to say the least, when we've known, like, the stats, and everyone's freaking out about him, and it's like, no, nah, it's not that bad, dude. Come on.
Well, just to, I guess I have comments, but I will say them when we go into gnomes. How about that?
Sure, yeah.
I'll just say that for, you went to a tournament, right?
Yeah. I went to a tournament, Co-op Cup, and we'll get into that when I get into that segment. So,
what about you? You been anything good, bad?
Hopefully
nobody's passed away in your life.
Not that I'm aware of, so that's good. Okay. Did I mention that I hit the point of financial security?
You told me that if you've recovered on this journey that started a while back, you're...
I think I mentioned it on the podcast, but yeah, it's like I got my bonus. I got my school money coming in this semester. I finished my annoying class that I had put off for like a year and a half for whatever, but everything's going extremely well. Job's going extremely well and excited.
Well, good.
Not having stress. Now, my credit is still horrible, like just... God awful. If anyone knows how to fix that, feel free to reach out. Because everything online is total BS from what I can tell. pay us $150 a month and we'll fix your credit. No, I'm not interested. I'll just have bad credit for a few more years. That's fine. It'll drop off.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of wheeling and dealing, so that's been fun. Bought some lots.
You like doing that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember back in HeroClix days, I used to get everybody's HeroClix and deal online and always make a good, I guess profit is the word, even though it wasn't money. You know, it was still figures and stuff, but it's fun.
I guess that's the part I don't... Oh, I should sell so many things. It's just like, I don't want to deal with people. Last time I dealt with people, they told me I was charging not enough, and then I was charging too much, and then they thought it was a joke that I thought I could get this amount of money. It was for a Shadows of Brimstone set. And I got exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, people will always come at you like that, and I just ignore
them. And then, unfortunately, the guy I sold it to, he was like, well, the first time you posted it, I offered you $40 less for that than you're selling it now. If you would have just told me you wanted $40 more, I would have gave it to you. And I wanted to say, I listed it for that other price. You were lowballing me.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I didn't really do anything different. I just took it down and re-uploaded it with, like, I made it $5 less than what I was asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I found out through, PayPal over $600 through PayPal. That's not friends and family and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it was annoying.
So, like I said, I've been buying multiple lots. So I've got teams, I've got figures, all this stuff. And I've been, posting here and there. And I assume I'm annoying people, but I don't know. Anything that doesn't get sold, I just kind of put over on BD Swag or both BigDealSwag.com. And I have inventory there, so that's cool. And normally things are pretty, put up 12 items, get bites on 3 or 4, that's fine. This last time I did it, no idea why. I put up a post and everybody was flooding me with offers, and some guy just pretty much bought every second and third edition figure I had. So, paid for my tickets to a Moracle Cup. So that was nice.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. So, a Moracle Cup, got my plane tickets, got my train tickets. Craig is on the same train and plane, and we're sharing a hotel. So that'll make things nice.
Good for you.
Something did happen, which is super rare in my life, and you know this. I won a drawing. I never win drawings. Whoa. Someone posted, they're doing some charity tournament. I don't even know where it was. I think Canada. And they had a sealed blister pack of second edition Skaven. I thought, oh, it looks pretty good. That's cool. And it's for charity. It's $20 for 5 tickets or whatever. And I put all 5 tickets on that. I deleted the conversation, and I told the guy, I didn't delete it, but archived it. I told the guy, hey, I just put all these on there, and I never win anything, so whatever. Lo and behold, he messages me and is like, hey, despite what you thought, you won. I didn't even know what it was for. But, where did I put it? I put it over here. So.
Let's see this.
I got a very, whoa.
Well, you got to put it like where your face is, bro.
I'm doing.
There you go. I see it.
Yeah, very nice edition, second edition, blister and everything. So,
you should open those.
I am not going to do that. The whole point of getting it was a sealed blister. Keep wanting to say booster pack, but it's not the same thing.
All right.
But yeah, I was excited about that. And then it cost me another $20 to ship to me. I was like, less excited about that.
Oh, well. I mean, you won something.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of winning, you want to go into our segments or you got something else to say?
No, I mean, I'm going into April. I think I said this last podcast. I think I had my Blood Bowl games done, but going into April, still undefeated with Goblins.
3 wins, 2 ties or whatever?
Oh, then I've already talked about it. Never mind then.
That's okay. Oh, it was just like a week ago, but.
That's okay. Oh, that is, it was like a week ago. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Yeah, we're just having to do this specifically on the 6th for a particular reason, so.
Well, I am 50, so I forget about talking about things.
Wow, wow. Wow,
let's just, all right. Yep. Let's get into the co-op cup. Let's actually do gnomes first. You want to do gnomes? I think that's
what we can do gnomes first. That's fine.
Okay. We're going to talk about gnomes first and then Steve's adventure at co-op cup. And we'll be right back.
Both Down is brought to you by Wizard Asylum in Norman, Oklahoma, and BigDealSwag.com. If you're in Norman, Oklahoma, check out Wizard Asylum for all your board game needs. If you're looking for tournament swag, go to BigDealSwag.com.
All right, we're back to talk about gnomes.
Gnome.
I was going to try to think of something clever and pun-like, but it's already been beaten to death.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to Blood Bowl when it comes to pun names. Like, it's ridiculous. And the spike doesn't help.
Yeah, the spike is full of it. First, I want to start off that, no, we weren't lying. We had no idea when this was announced that Gnomes was coming out. Zero clue.
Yeah.
It was a couple weeks after they sent us an email saying we're going to get a digital copy of the Spike magazine. Now, in previous times, we've gotten like, we're going to send you a few miniatures to review, some dice to review, Spike magazine to review, and a team sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This time we got a digital copy of Spike.
Which is fine, except the issue came up. Someone asked me today, is like, hey, since you got stuff early, as normal, should I get one box or two? How are they split up? What's in the box? I'm like, I don't honestly know.
Because Gary assumed we got everything too. And I said, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I said, I have no clue because it looks like the treasure trove of fun goodies that we used to get is probably stopped. So I don't know.
Maybe. We don't know.
I know we don't know. And this is going to sound like a complaint, but it's really not meant to, because I knew all along that getting anything in the mail from GW was a blessing.
Oh, heck yeah.
And getting a digital copy of Spike is really cool too. My problem is I cannot carry this with me.
Yeah.
And I don't like reading on my phone because call it what it is. I just don't read comics on my phone. I try not to read too much on my phone. So today, as we were recording this, I was actually off work and I had a little bit of time to skim the magazine. But this is the first time I haven't read the whole Spike magazine from front to back before one of these reviews. So you're going to have to lead the charge on this because I didn't do it. But so what I do notice, though, and I totally get where they're coming from, they have Steve Campbell all over this thing, watermarked everywhere on it.
Which makes you think that other information may have leaked out somewhere.
Yeah, like that's what I was getting ready to say is if you got information ahead of time and you leaked it to other places or other people or places that did, you know, videos or podcasts, I am mad if you did do this, because clearly I did not get one of these in the mail for my old man eyes to read and go through and study. And I had to get a digital copy. So I do understand where GW is coming from with this, because if I would have sent this to, I'm going to make up a name. I sent it to Jeff Gallenbeck, and he posted it.
Not a made-up
name. He clearly says,
it's a real guy.
Huh?
That's a real guy.
Oh, well, I'm saying the fact that, like, we sent him something ahead of time.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And he posted it online, and he goes, I don't know where it came from, a factory in China.
Mm-hmm.
it would be, they'd go, no, it came from Steve Campbell, bro. And...
Or, you know, there's a lot of people who have digital copies of Spikes and stuff that are out there. It's a lot easier if they send you the magazine in advance and you can just do a good scan of it and then upload it. And then why would you need to buy it? Or, you know, your 20 friends or the 200 people on whatever site you throw that up on. Now, not going to happen if it has your name plastered all over it, which is good.
There's enough cheap people that if we... If you shared this somewhere, they would do photocopies in black and white or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
It's not the Blood Bowl crowd, so I don't want to pick on them, but every gaming crowd has these like cheapo people that feel like they have the right to get everything dirt cheap or not pay anything at all, but they still want the company to produce new stuff and everything for them, which is ridiculous, but so...
I mean, at the beginning, bought everything GW. Even when I didn't really have the money to do so, you know, I bought multiple copies of the game in 2016 and et cetera. I bought everything up until the cards were just way too expensive and the pitches were too expensive and my money was gone. And now that I have the money to buy everything, I'm still going to buy some stuff just because I want to support GW. Not buying those cards and most likely not buying pitches. Like the pitches. I think they do a great job with the pitches. It's just too much money when I can just play on my mats from Maelstrom.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I ordered a pitch, honestly, is because I already have all the other pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of in that bad rut where I need to somehow the store not get a pitch in no matter what I do, and I can't find one anywhere to break me of that cycle of I have to have them because I already got them. Before we go over this Spike magazine, I am a little bit saddened for dual selfish reasons. I mean, it is cool getting stuff in stock, but it's also, you know, the last few teams I've tried to like build so I could review like how hard they are to build and stuff. And yes, it's self-repelling. I know if I build them, one of us gets to keep them or whatever. We give them away at tournaments. But either way, we get to touch stuff and everything. And those were nice. And if that never comes again, that's okay too.
It was nice while it lasted. But hopefully, you know, everything will be good. So let's talk about one thing, which doesn't really have a whole lot to do with gnomes, but the next thing that's going to come. Because people keep asking us, what's the next thing that's going to come? We don't know. We have no idea. That being said, I have a thought. And I think Craig mentioned part of this. But we look at the star players that came out. And we mentioned this last time. You know, you got... I probably just went into this whole thing last time. It's hard to remember when it was only a week ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, box set with high elves because of the two star players. And then... Chaos Dwarves because of Krashnak and Skitter being favored of. Hmm. It only makes sense. If it happens, who knows?
Yeah. I don't, at this point, I don't know anything well enough to predict them. So.
All right. We're going to get into
the spike. Let's talk about gnomes.
Now, we did see pictures of the team, of the pitch, the dice, and that's everything there. The dice look nice. Which I think everybody buys dice anyways because they always tend to sell out and they're just cool. They're not too expensive.
One more thing before we go on. We're about to tell you some things, but in some ways I feel we play along with the rules GW gives us. You're not allowed to talk about this until this date. That's why the podcast comes out on Saturday after a certain time because they tell us this. And there's already... other people, of course, they have videos and other podcasts and stuff like that. They're talking about all the stats, and here we are. We got to wait 5 more days.
Yeah, literally, it is. We're recording this on April 1st, and the stats came out. Well, we can't talk about them. I mean, we can talk about the stats that exist, but if we put out an episode going, "Hey, the stats just came out. Let's go over it," most likely breaking our NDA, I assume. Because
100%.
We could talk about the stuff released, but we can't talk about the rest. And a lot of the rest is the important... I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that, I guess that's what I'm kind of getting at.
It puts us in a weird spot.
They released the stats. That's what most people want to talk about more than even the fluff stuff.
Oh,
we
yeah,
love the
for
fluff,
sure.
But
yeah.
I feel like we couldn't release this tomorrow.
No.
Because of the NDA. So we're playing the rules, and then everybody's going to go like, oh, well, I've already listened to four other podcasts about the stats, so why would I listen to another one? And that kind of sucks.
It does. And they've been doing that a lot lately.
I get it, but it kind of sucks. So
they didn't used to do that. They used to do it on the day of. Like, we would release the podcast, and they'd release the pre-orders and talk about the stats.
But have a feeling they really want everybody to pre-order this stuff because it's a brand new team. Phil doesn't have a gnome team, even though he has 400 teams. You don't have a gnome team.
To be fair, I would not put it past Phil to have a gnome team.
Well, I wouldn't either. I'm just saying,
they do exist, but yeah.
There's just not, it's less likely, you know, almost everybody, except those people who have to go to third party because they have to.
Yes.
I'm a renegade. I only do third party people. Go for it, buddy. I don't care. And anyways. So, yeah, I think they just want to gear everybody up into ordering some of these teams and as fast as they can. And
that's another thing is we don't know for sure. Like the tree men, I think Brian at Wizard Asylum said that he can pre-order them. So it makes me think they're going on the shelf. However, you can now pre-order Star Players and Forge World through your store. The way they redid the Forge World site that no longer exists, you can order that stuff through a store now.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Ken up in Canada did it.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's
like,
interesting.
Yeah, and I guess I should mention that more in the public because I think that nobody knows that, but he did it. Went to a store and said, hey, I want this and this, this star player from the website. They're able to order it because it's no longer behind that curtain of Forge World. It's just part of the GW envelope, I guess.
Interesting. Well, I might need to have a talk with Brian to get a few of those star players into the store because we might be able to sell them.
Yeah.
Now that we can get a hold of them. So.
Although,
interesting,
he has a horrible GW rep, so.
Well, that's neither here nor there, and there's not much we can do about that. But
right.
Let's talk about the treatment real quick, I guess.
Yes.
I keep saying let's talk about Spike, but let's talk about the things we've seen.
Yes.
The treatment look different. Do they not?
Yeah, no, they do. They're completely different.
Okay.
Got big mouths and...
Well, the last
fists.
One kind of has a big mouth, too.
Yeah, that's true. They're more dynamic. Like, they have two legs, and like they're throwing or whatever.
Do you know what color the dice are? I mean, did you see a bigger picture than what I saw? Because I just saw them in the little...
It wasn't a big picture, no.
Okay.
They're blue. They looked better, but I couldn't... There was no clear image.
Okay. I did not see them outside of the package, I guess is what I'm
No,
trying to
I
say.
Saw them in the package.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and I don't know what the team, do we know the, from the pictures, do we know what you get in the team?
No, not really. You can extrapolate out. I believe you'll get 12 figures, and of those, you know, one each.
You only get 12?
I think. I didn't look. I didn't count.
Okay.
Again, GW, curious. Send us physical stuff. We'll know the stuff better.
Well, I mean, I mean.
But yeah, I did not double check.
Well, I'm going to be mad because I almost didn't order a team of this, to be honest with you, because I don't know when I'll play them. And at the same time, I could just use halflings as proxies.
But yeah.
I went ahead and ordered one thinking that worst case scenario, if I don't buy it, there's somebody who wants to play them bad enough that they'll buy the team from me, you know.
Want to play them. I think they look fun. I like the models, and it has the animals on there, which not only is it how do I say this? Not only are they cool sculpts, so therefore you kind of want them more, but it means that there's less likelihood of you using a halfling to represent a beastmaster. Because mm-hmm. now your halfling needs to have an animal on it or something.
Right.
So it makes sense for them to add stuff like that to sculpts, which again is cool.
I'm hoping the sprues have 8 figures on them per sprue. So we get one of each of the like positionals and then the rest are linemen. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know.
Okay. Did we talk about everything? And the pack of cards?
Who cares?
We really don't. We don't care about this.
Man, there was a guy.
Maybe that's why we didn't get stuff. We had too many bad reviews about how the packs of cards are worthless.
That's fine. Not going to change our idea. I got a great deal off a guy on eBay and for some Spike magazines and stuff. And I was like, I wonder what else this guy has. Because obviously he doesn't know what value of stuff is. He had 10 card packs or something, or 15. And he wanted like $255 or something. I'm like, nope. Not even close. Yeah. I would pay $5 a pack. If it's an unopened pack, I'll pay $5. That's about it.
That's how you sell them to Steve, $5.
I might buy unopened. I mean, opened, just to have the star players, because the star player cards are nice. But, yeah, aside from that, whatever. Hey, right, so to the spike. Starts off with your typical painting, showing the figures painted, which the figures do look nice. They look like gnomes, though. They do not look like sporting gnomes to me. Like, there's no real kit there. It's just they're wearing a blue vest.
Or a blue shirt. I think that's where some of my disappointment is. Where I questioned, like, I think they're nice models
mm-hmm.
from these pictures. I really do. I think they're nice models. But they don't feel like they're ready to play Blood Bowl. They look like miniatures for the most part that could be used in a D&D campaign.
Oh, easily. Or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, we got a guy punching, which is fine. Illusionist has the ball in her back pocket or whatever. Another guy's got like a spike on his fist.
I mean, I guess that's close enough for them.
As good as it gets? I don't know. It's weird. Not a huge deal, but it's weird. What do we want us? Do we want us to just go in order?
Yeah, just go through this thing order. We got these tree men. It looks like the same pose, but looks like there's ways to construct them different. Or
the mouths look different, for sure.
What's that?
The faces look different.
Yeah, it looks like you have some components to make. Like this one has like a little leafy beard on it, and the other one... It's kind of clean shaven, so it is different, that's for sure. So I don't know if I need to order some of the, I don't know. I'm about ready to paint every new team purple and white and just use models for everything.
Yeah. I'm curious what the trees will cost. If they are $35 as the last ones were, it's not too bad. If they're right. $65 like Deep Root, screw that.
Right.
So it's off with the opening as always. Nothing exciting there.
Then Reading sports fans, page one.
Okay. Yeah, always. Then it gets into the history of the gnomes, how they were, played tricks on people, pretending to be halflings, all this stuff. Don't want to go into specifics. You can buy the spike and read. But the main thing it does is it goes into the positionals, and our positionals are 0 to 16 known gnome linemen, and then 2 gnome beastmasters, 2 illusionists, 2 foxes, and then 2 treemen. So we'll break those down as we go. But
and again, this is where I hope the box set is 16 miniatures. So we can get plenty of linemen in case you want to run the linemen. The linemen are 40 costs, while the Beastmasters are 55K, the Illusionists are 50K, and the Fox is actually 50K. So I see a lot of people, kind of like they do with the Snotlings, just load up on a bunch of linemen and take the occasional other figure here and there. So
yeah,
for somebody like me, I would like to have 12 to 14 linemen at my need as I want to build things
myself. Oh, for sure. I get it. Yeah. But I'm sure with the two positionals, we're going to get those two in the box. So that's six figures. As you said, if there's usually it's 12 to 14 figures. If it's 14, that gives you eight linemen. That should be enough to field, especially when you take two trees. So I think one box is going to do most people.
Probably.
Okay.
Except
for you, probably me.
Do we want to go position by position what these people have, even though
everybody
in the world knows this now on the day we record this, so it's old news.
Doesn't matter. The
Gnome Lineman, 016, like Steve said, 40K is the cost, 5 movement, 2 strength, 3 plus agility, 4 plus passing, 7 plus on the armor. We have jump up, right stuff, stunty, and wrestle. And for the primary skills, only an agility. So getting a block is going to cost quite a bit. So I assume the way you build these guys is first skill is just dodge.
Yeah, I'm sure. For most of these, first skill is going to be dodge.
Then we have the...
And secondary is general and strength. There's no passing.
Correct. Does any of this bother you? Does this seem like it's overly cost? Does it, not enough for the skills of jump up, wrestle?
You want to get through the rest of the stuff?
I'm just curious. We can do it by position by position.
Let's talk about it at the end, and then we'll look at the overall for it.
0 to 2, the Gnome Beastmaster. These are the models with the goose or the badger on it.
Mm-hmm.
55K, 5 movement, 2 strength, 3 plus agility, 4 plus passing, 8 armor, so they're a little bit tougher. They have guard, jump up, stunty, and wrestle. So they can't be thrown, obviously, because there's two little characters there.
Which is a huge difference.
So that's a big deal. Same thing. Primary is only agility, and secondary is general and strength. You have the Gnome Illusionist, which is 50K, 5, 2, 3 plus, 3 plus, 7 plus. Jump up, stunty, trickster, and wrestle. You have agility and passing access here. No strength. And you can get, for a secondary, you can get a general skill. Would you like to tell everybody what trickster is, Steve?
Yes. Apparently, I'm putting this on to it's April 1st and not people who just... stupid and can't read. A lot of dumb questions have been coming up about these traits. But this trait, Trickster, when this player is about to be hit by a block action or a special action that replaces a block action, with the exception of a block action caused by the ball and chain special action, before determining how many dice are rolled, they may be removed from the pitch and placed in any other unoccupied square adjacent to the player performing the block action. The block action then takes place as normal. If the player using this trait is holding the ball and places themselves in the opposition end zone, the block action will still be fully resolved before any touchdown is resolved. So it's kind of like a pre-hit sidestep, but just better.
So this, if... When I heard about this and read about this, I thought about how you wanted remember how you wanted to do the slam team with magicians,
mm-hmm. wizards? Absolutely.
This would now be a skill your magicians could, or your wizards could have.
Yeah.
If we recreated those. So.
No, and I think that's cool. Definitely a neat idea. People are talking about how it's super broken, but guys, you have to remember, this is on a guy with 2 strength. And
it's only wrestling on 2 people.
Yeah. And they don't have, it's still 7 plus to break the armor. So a pal or defender stumbles, they go down. On a block, they also go down, and you don't hurt yourself. And their movement's 5. So when they pop up, obviously they have jump ups, so that negates it. They're still not in a great position. It's better than it was, but if they're holding the ball, which is like a lot of people thinking, like, oh, they're going to be great ball handlers. No, they're not. They're going to go down 30% of the time. And when you have two dice, typically, they're going to go down almost every single time.
I mean, once they have dodge on them, they'll be a lot better. Yes. I get what people are saying. You can position yourself to be in a better position if you get like double pushes and stuff like that. So, yes, it's going to come into a factor, but they're 50K.
Yeah. And when you put
they're 50K.
When you put dodge on them, they're now 70K.
Right. I feel like the bloat on this team is going to go pretty high.
Yeah. So before we get into that, because we can go into that. Woodland Fox, 0-2, 50K, 7 movement, 2 strength, 2 plus agility, no passing, 6 plus armor, dodge, my ball, sidestep, stunty, no primary skills, and only agility as secondary. And they already come with dodge.
Right.
So, you want me to read my ball?
I can read it for you.
Go for it.
So this is a trait. A player with this trait may not willingly give up the ball when it's in their possession. And so may not make pass actions. Well, of course not. They have no pass skill. Handoff actions or use any other skill or trait that would allow them to relinquish possession of the ball. The only way they can lose possession of the ball is by being knocked down, placed prone, falling over, or by the effect of a skill trait or special rule by the opposing model. It does not clearly say this, folks, but if they score a touchdown, they relinquish the ball.
But what if they turn into a frog? Because that's not a skill. That's a wizard. It doesn't state specifically it's a wizard.
If anybody ever had a dog and
it's not a model.
That would like to chase the ball, but never give it back to you, that's what this represents.
Yes. And yes, there have been some stupid takes on this about, well, if you push them out of bounds, then do they keep it? Because they didn't technically fall down. They just go into the KO box of reserves. So do they have it there?
I saw one guy say, yeah, the game's over. Yep. You know, abandon the match. You're done playing.
I like that rule. If someone asks me, like, yep, you're done. Just pack it up and go home.
The last positional is two Treemen, and their stats are exactly like every other Treemen, 2-6, 5+, 5+, 11+, access to strength, and then all the other skills are secondaries. You can get an apothecary. Team rerolls are 50K, and the only special rules for star players is the Halfling Thimble Cup. So you will not see a team
ever.
Well, huh?
So, however, even though you have Halfling Thimble Cup, they just released the stats today, or in the article, they do not get access to cheap Halfling Chefs. And that's going to have to be put in a fucking errata. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I try not to cuss too often on this show, but come on, people. Either know that before you print the book and just slap it in there. Or just stop with the erratas and do an online book. This is ridiculous. Like, yeah, well, May, when we do designer notes, we're going to have to slap it in there. Okay, well, great. People who don't go and get the errata online will just play with the books, and these guys get Halfling Chef because no one paid attention. So annoying. So frustrating.
That's pretty awful.
And Tim Lyons pointed it out today. He's like, you see this? I go, no, I did not. I hate that so much. But yeah, aside from that, they get all the Halfling Thimble Cup star players, which apparently is now, what, 73 of them? 1, 2, 3.
It's, looks like 16 of them.
You get 16 star players with the stupid team.
I was about to say, I forgot Griff was also a Halfling Thimble Cup guy. So I was about to say, because I thought the old Halfling team was classic as well. And that's where Griff came in. But No, you can still have Griff and some little gnomes. So never mind.
Griff and Zug or Morg, you know, well, however you want to do it.
I see. So what's your thoughts on the
bloat and money, that type of stuff? First off, we got a woodland fox. Awesome. Cool. He can score you touchdowns. What he can't do is level up to any real extent. What skill are you going to give this dude?
You're going to wait, and then you're going to roll for to strength. See if you can get a strength plus, and then you're going to have an awesome ball carrier, because that's what's going
to
happen.
That's fair. That's like the only thing to do with this guy. And then you
I don't know why you do anything else. And then if you don't get like a movement or strength, you cut him and go to the next one. Because, I mean, what are you going to take agility wise? I guess you take something to foul with.
But diving tackle? Catch? I mean, I guess technically he can still catch the ball, but it feels like a sucker's play. I know the fox is cool. I know the seven movement's nice. But in a tournament, yes. In a league, no. I don't like it.
Personally, without seeing, I mean, I get that they're a part of this, but I'm starting to see too many animals on the pitch for it to feel like Blood Bowl to me. And I know that's really dumb.
Yeah, that's this team.
In a weird way, I am okay with a goblin taking a chainsaw and cutting off a human lineman's, you know, injuring the guy and killing him. Mm-hmm. And in a weird way, I'm not so fond of them killing a fox with a chainsaw or a beer boar with a chainsaw.
That's true.
I'm all about them killing those annoying geese that honk at me all the time here in Oklahoma when you get within 75 feet of their nest. But I don't know that it's the dumbest thing ever. I know in my brain that I'm okay with, like, you know, goblins getting ran over by a tractor, but I have a problem with, like, the fox or the beer boar getting smashed by the death roller itself. So
that's because they're innocents. There's no, there's no sin with them. Whereas a human, probably.
And again, I want the fox to be, if he's going to play Blood Bowl, I want the model to have like some type of armor on him to, like, you get what I'm saying? Like something. He's just a fox.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a little weird.
So I get the theme of it. They're little woodland people, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I hope we don't get too many more animals at all in Blood Bowl, because it feels like to me what other games do when they go, we want to create Blood Bowl, but we can't call it Blood Bowl, so we're going to say it's Blood Bowl Soccer, but we can't call it Blood Bowl Soccer, so we're going to give it a different name, and we're going to have guilds instead of teams, and then they have animals and things like that on there. So
okay.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion.
Weird rant, but I feel you.
So,
aside from that, I think everything's costed pretty appropriately. The Beastmasters, yeah, you get guard, but you can also just smash them in the face and they're going to go down.
Yeah, without seeing this in action, I don't know what I really think.
Yeah, and you know,
part of me thinks it's not going to be a problem, and then another part of me thinks it could be a problem. I mean, I maybe that's because I think dodge is a really good skill to have on a stunty player. Why these guys don't have that.
Yeah. They're not going to be dodging in and out of tackle zones, even though they have stunty. You know, you don't have the built-in dodge, so it's going to hurt you. The rerolls are only 50K. That helps. But, you know, a regular lineman for most teams, 50K. You get a Beastmaster on the ground, which you're going to do a lot, stomp him. I don't know. It's a worthy trade-off if you get rid of a guy with a guard.
Yeah,
and again,
maybe so.
What's guard really doing for this team? It brings you up to 3 strength, so you still need another guy to get an advantage on a regular person. I mean, it's good for the trees, because now you can get two or, you know, three dice on a random one person, but I don't know.
I mean, I do see, like, there could be times where having four gnomes down with their armor not broken could cause problems, even if you had a cage set up, because in theory, you could jump up, you could throw a block, wrestle somebody down or get the double push, and you could create scenarios. I think they're just going to have to really be played different than any other stunty team because of the lack of dodge. So we're just going to see how.
And their low movement isn't hurting them with the jump up. So, but again, they're getting hurt because of no dodge. You get tied up, you're going to fail.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see.
We will have to see.
It will be. It'll be interesting.
Then we get to our famous gnome teams, which is always nice. We do have the Glimdwallow Geezers, Mirror Moor Marauders, Anti-Moot Meddlers, and the Deep Forest Tricksters. There's a piece of art here that everyone's really loving online because it was shown.
All the little animals.
All the little animals, the super grumpy rabbit.
Well, he's pissed off.
I get it.
He has a big S on his face in our copy. Oh, that's your name.
Yeah, he does. we got our team spotlight, Glimdarrow Groundhogs, Glimdwarrow Groundhogs. Not going to be able to say that well. Then career highlights. We got our Hall of Fame squad, which is always cool, even though we don't do anything with it. Then we got our first star player spotlight, Rowana Forestfoot, Guardian of the Forest. And in the picture, she is on a deer, so another animal.
Was this leaked at all? Because this threw me off when I read this.
I don't believe she was leaked.
Okay, so we didn't see an image or anything, because I couldn't remember an image of a little gnome on a...
No, the other guy got leaked because there's going to be a model of him. I don't know if there's going to be a model of her.
Okay.
She is 6'3", 3+, 4+, 8+. She comes with dodge, dump off, guard, horns, jump up, leap, loner 4+. And then her special rule is bounding leap once per game. After declaring that she will leap, but before rolling any dice, Rowana may choose to use this special rule. If she does, Rowana suffers no negative modifiers for the agility test to leap and may choose to reroll the result.
So, she's Thimble Cup. She's only 160. She might be worth taking with, like, halflings or something.
She might be worth taking, period. Just period. Guard, awesome. Horns on a 3-strength piece, awesome. Jump up, awesome. Leap, generally iffy, but with her special rule, awesome. And then dodge and dump off.
Yeah,
she's really good piece, and that's pretty cheap for what she does. And of course, we're talking tournaments, like in a league. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm talking tournaments.
Tournaments, of course, because you don't care about star player points. She carries the ball, and if she starts to get hit, you can dump it off. Or if she can just leap over a cage and be done with it, you ignore negative modifiers and you get to reroll the result. That's crazy.
And you only need a 3+, so. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure I didn't forget about some rule. Her and Rumbelow together, I think, would be really kind of fun and interesting. So.
Rumbelow's another animal.
I know.
Oh, and so this is a buck that she's riding. And then we've got Acorn in this with rules. So that's another animal. Too many animals.
Yeah. So here's a nitpicky thing. Granted, I haven't researched a whole lot on gnomes in the world, Warhammer world.
Mm-hmm.
They have her age is 29.
Yeah. Gray-haired and, granny figure, 29. Yeah,
looks like a granny figure. She's 29 years old. So maybe they don't live long. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like maybe 290 would make more sense. I don't know how they work either.
So, Then we have career highlights of her, which kind of recaps some of the things that, you know, are already kind of mentioned in the page before, but with dates on there.
Yeah.
We do have a, instead of a did you know, we have a did you gnome. The Badger World Bin Raiders have perhaps the best animal training resume of any gnome team. Their stadium, the Fox Office, more puns, doubles as the local petting zoo and is home to the badgers, foxes, geese, moles, hares, and all other manner of other creatures, leaving their young fans spoiled fur choice. Get it?
Again, if you do not like puns, ignore this. Do not buy this. Just put it to the side. There's nothing but gnome puns and animal puns, and it's too much. It is just too much.
Page 13 is Dirt from the Dugout with Mindy Piewhistle, which is another interview. And then we have Star Player Spotlight of Rodney Roachbait, their artful angler.
Yeah,
he's only 43, Steve.
And he looks a lot, I mean, I guess he looks the same age because he's got the gray hair. I don't know.
Maybe they just all have white hair.
They didn't ask us. So, he's been released. We've seen his model. So, 6, 2, 3 plus, 4 plus, 7 plus. Catch, diving catch, jump up, loner, 4 plus. On the ball, sidestep, stunty, wrestle. And then his catch of the day, once per half. If he's standing and begins his activation within 3 squares of the ball, which is on the ground, he may roll a d6. On a 1 to 2, nothing happens. On a 3 plus, Rodney immediately gains possession of the ball. So he casts out his line, grabs the ball, and then go do whatever he wants.
Then he can move with it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how I understood it too.
Yeah, and because it's beginning with activation. And this is 70K? Like, the strength sucks because it's 2. But aside from that, you've got on the ball... And then you've got diving catch and catch. So you can, if you get near the ball, you can catch it on kickoff. And then wrestle and keep you alive a little bit longer. I mean, he's pretty good. I don't know if he's, I mean, I think he's worth 70, I would say.
Oh, I think he's worth 70, easy.
Yeah.
The next page is more of Rodney and career highlights on page 15. And then we have the Gnome Garden Leagues. No place like Gnome. Get it? Get it?
I hate it so much.
So this is interesting to me. They show a picture of the little gnomes on top of each other, like a little, like a tiki thing, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying? Like
totem pole.
Totem pole. I'm sorry. This almost would have been interesting if one of the positionals was this in some ways.
Yeah. Like if this was their big guy, two gnomes in a trench coat. Yeah.
Which has been done before, so they probably went away from that. But it was just
trees
a thought,
haven't?
Like,
I mean, come on.
Or you remember the old Bob this is gonna show my age, the old Bob New Hope show where New it was Heart. Like, this is me, I'm Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl.
Yes.
You know. Or whatever the guy's name was. I can't remember. There was three of them.
Yeah.
There could have been a star player that had three people stacked up like this. And that would have been fantastic.
It would have been funny. Yeah.
You know, whatever. The gnome triplets or whatever. It would have been very interesting.
Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
It could have had, if you think about this, three different special things, but you could only use one per game. Or one per half, and it represented each of the characters of the brothers as the star player.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. We do not need three special powers on a star player.
They're really basic things. Like for one action, you can use block. One action, you can do this. But you only get to do like one and a half, or even one per game. But you had three options to represent each brother making this totem pole. Just a thought to be different.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
it would have been interesting, yes.
This is just what I thought when I saw this, so I just thought I would get it out there.
I just hate star players with the special skills. That's all.
I did. Oh, now I hear you. I accidentally turned off my volume, so I didn't hear anything you just said.
That's fine. Nothing important. Then okay. We go into the Phase Forest Cup, which is just a way to play the game differently, which is nice.
I did not read this, so if there's anything highlighted here that is important to you.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it. I mean,
it looks like just an alternate way to do like a little league or even a little mini tournament or a one-off game.
Yeah.
I do like this little hidden forest weather table. I always like when they add stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. New weather table, little kickoff table. Replaces the trap doors with portals, so that's kind of neat. The pitch, again, replaces the trap doors with portals. It does have the pitch rules, so you don't have to actually buy the pitch in order to have the rules, or if you do, they're actually included in the book, so you don't have to worry about it too much.
Have they always done this?
It's been recent, like the past four or five. Okay. Same with the balls. You got the oversized acorn ball and the gnomish idol ball, which that's more recent. We got Coffin Corner talking about the dead people. We got Chat with the Rat, just an interview with the rat. Pro Playbook, A League of Their Gnome, tells you how to level up your linemen and your positions and stuff, your team development.
So I don't like this. This is just they reuse the artwork from the cover. Just maybe they've always done that and I never caught it.
That's fair, yeah.
But
okay. Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Again, this just goes over the linemen and stuff again, really.
Yeah, well, it tells you how to skill things up. And it gives you your setups for offense and defense, which is nice. Then it gives us Acorn the Squirrel's freaking star player page, whatever.
If you like, I thought he's had one before.
Has he not? I don't know.
Okay.
It's Acorn.
I mean,
I don't care.
I know, but I do like Acorn. I think he's really worth the money.
Of course he is. He's stupid. He's stupid. I hate
him. He is stupid. See, you don't like to see Acorn get hurt either.
No, I want him to get hurt. I want him to get hurt bad and never come back in any way, shape, or form.
Wow. You hate him as much as I hate the werewolf guy.
Wilhelm?
Wilhelm Chaney, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. They do give us a Dungeon Bowl update, so it tells you how to include the gnomes into the Dungeon Bowl, which is College of Shadow.
Yeah, College of Shadow. That's like with the Dark Elves and stuff, right?
Think so. I do not have a good grasp of those teams.
Yeah, I meant to pull all this out, and I thought it was really weird that they did not divide these up, because I thought the Woodland Fox would maybe go to the Beastmasters would go to the Beast College of Beast.
But one thing I think is interesting, and I don't think this is indicative of anything, but it could be. This art looks a little different than the other art, like the actual style of it. And he's wearing a purple shirt. So they actually did this art in the style of Dungeon Bowl for the team.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was interesting. And again, if you look at the face and the style, the art doesn't look the same as the other person who did the other stuff. It looks similar, but different.
I think the colors are throwing you off, but...
Well, it's not as cartoony to me. Like the fox even. You know, he looks more like a fox than a cartoon-ish version. Fox.
That's fair.
Could just be me. And then we have our backup story. Cartoon as always.
Yeah, three pages of the comic. It was okay.
Yeah, as always.
And then the last page is more of the models, painted models, so you could see them painted. I enjoy these only to see, like, what did they name these guys? What's kind of the name of these players? I noticed nobody is named, like, really stupid, dumb names as I've been looking over tournament rosters for this weekend. And it's just like, oh my gosh.
So one thing that I'm 98% sure is not a reference to me, but there's a 2% chance it could be.
Oh yeah?
The fox's name. Todd.
Todd.
Because that's what I did with all the, like, remember, no, I didn't, it wasn't Todd. Never mind. 100% chance, not me. who was in on my Norse team at some point? You
had
point,
one guy that just had a first name, and I can't remember what it was.
I was thinking it was Todd, but it's not Todd. It's not Dave.
I
can't remember.
I could tell you in a second.
Yeah, I'm not that interested, but I thought that was funny.
I mean, I think they just...
No, because the other guy's Robin.
What's that?
The other fox is Robin, so.
Okay.
This is what they do for foxes. They have one name, I guess.
I mean, it makes the most sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to look it up for you, and I can't even do that because I pulled up the wrong one. What was your team's name?
Campbell Claimers.
Oh, oh, yeah. That's because they're not in here. I think we deleted the file. Isn't that great?
No, I have mine.
Oh, okay.
Things nobody cares about. Let me go look.
Yeah, we got to look now.
Blood Bowl.
I think you cut him when you changed the team name. I'm going to find it
Home
here in
league.
A second.
Old and then teams. We're just going to...
Then we're going to go like, this is stupid. His name was Ted.
Ted.
Not Todd.
There we go. That makes more sense. Ted.
His name was just Ted.
It was close.
It was close. Maybe they heard us talk about Ted 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, and somebody goes, let's call this guy Todd for Steve. It's close, and yet, you know, maybe he'll get the reference. Maybe they'll talk about it on the podcast. Maybe they won't.
Yeah, there's no chance that's what the case is, but in my head it was.
Then we have the last page. So that's it.
That
is the Spike magazine. You read every page.
Yeah.
Does it make you want to play them?
No.
It makes me want the other ones.
It makes me want to find whoever wrote it and stab him in the face.
Because
it's too many puns. And I like puns. But they're just bad.
They're tricksters, Steve. They're supposed to be funny and punny.
That's true. They are. I'll excuse them for that. But aside from that, it's fine. It's a fun read. There's a lot of good content. And I wish I could
really
tell
wish...
you about everything else. But yeah, I mean.
I wish I had these models in hand. Because I don't want to say that they're not Blood Bowl-y enough for me without really seeing them. Because they really might have little tiny shoulder pads or something. But I don't see them on here at all.
Well, if you look at the last page has some better pictures of different types of models. But again, their kit is just a shirt and pants. There's nothing Blood Bowl-y about it.
I mean, some of these guys I do see, these are better pictures. Like this one guy does look like he has a little shoulder pad. The guy, this Dorland Thistle Jim in the corner, and this Pagreen Mudfoot. Of course, he's on 1 foot, so I'm going to love that model. I should just order 2 boxes right now to not even have these guys.
Be good to have extra. I'll take the extra lineman if you want.
See, you know, everybody teases me because I complain about everything being on 1 foot. Everybody who's bought the GW Lizard Man team and played them, like in our league and stuff, is constantly going, does the store have any glue? drop this guy and just barely, or a dice hit him and he's broken. And I was like, yeah, this is why I don't have these. So
yeah, sounds like a them problem.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be my problem because I ain't doing it.
All right, overall, again, everything looks good. Excited for a new team. This is the team that has drawn the most interest of any other team I've seen released. Like, we've got people outside of Blood Bowl being interested in this and like, oh, well, that's neat. I didn't know that happened. And people like, all right, now maybe I'll play a Spike or a Stunty team. So I think it'll be fun if it comes out in 2 weeks. This May, hopefully a lot of people are able to play them before it comes to Chaos Cup. And Chaos Cup does not just get overloaded with gnomes. And I'm curious to see how they actually play out. But we won't know that for a while.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of interested in doing it, but I don't want to be one of the guys that has 10 teams out of 20 that's a gnome team. So
yeah.
And I'm not going to pay my own team, and I don't have the money for it, so it's not going to happen.
That's fair.
But if I do get them, I'm pretty sure they're going to be purple and white because I'll just use my Treeman for my halfling teams.
I mean, it's the smart thing to do. The Treeman are just expensive.
While we record this, we have a bunch of thunderstorms rolling through Oklahoma City right now. So, Steve, if at any point I just stop talking and you don't see me, you know why. So,
yeah, that makes
just heard
sense.
Some thunder and stuff. So, just to kind of warn you about that. It doesn't look like anything severe, but I do live in Moore and used to live in this neighborhood, so you know what happens sometimes.
That neighborhood is horrible when it comes to power and cable. So, I get it. All right, well, we're going to wrap this up and we'll come back with my adventures out to Chaos Cup. Chaos Cup in my head.
Doesn't it have a number as well? And this is like the fourth one or
Co-op
sixth
Cup
one?
3.
Okay. The third one. All right, we'll be right back.
We are back and going to go over Co-op Cup 3, which I had all this time and I didn't figure out what day it was. I'm an idiot.
Steve, man, come on.
Come on, man.
You got to up your game, buddy. Is this run by Robert Ray?
Yeah, and TJ.
And TJ, okay.
Yeah, TJ helped.
They're a co-op. Is this a team event?
It is a team event. So two people to a team, and then see who does the best. And, of course, they deleted the post, so...
You're gonna have to go there. I'll find it. You talk.
Man.
You just talk, sir.
I'll just talk. Yeah, Robert and TJ ran it. Everything went really well. It was awesome. It was in Castle Rock, Colorado, which is a nice little suburb, I guess, suburb. But it was in a high-end shopping center, which was neat. So
this took place on March 9th.
March 9th. Okay, so a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I took Snotlings with Skidder Stab Stab because I could, and I'm a piece of shit. So that's how that works. Skidder's just so good.
Okay, well, you didn't do as bad as I thought since I just saw your results. So.
Okay.
I was about to say, like, you're not a piece of shit, because I know how you've done with Snotlings in the past. And
no, I've never played Snotlings. I played Stunty, and in my 20 games of Stunty, I've won one, I believe.
It's not so good, my friend.
No. This is a team. When everything happened at Chaos Cup last year, what?
Oh, okay. I do see the one win. It's from your Ogres. You have nothing over 138.959. So,
no, it's horrible.
This is
don't need to get into it.
How have you not won a game with halflings?
Because I was going I suck. That's the main thing. And then at the end, I was going for casualties. Because it was me against Andrews at Chaos Cup that one time. And I missed out by 2. Is there anything else you'd like to bring up about my horrible Stunty record?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm glad it amused you. So, after doing so horribly with Norse the whole last year, including World Cup and Chaos Cup, to where I didn't even finish Chaos Cup. I was like,
wow.
That's it. I'm playing Stunties. What now?
Oh, you can tell you played Norse in like big events where they counted double points because your record's not like terrible, but your rating is terrible.
Yeah. It's not great. So, do you want to just keep going and say what I'm horrible at? I guess that's the theme of this one.
Your classic Norris rating is actually really good. It's the modern day Blood Bowl 2020 is
not almost so great, like you can't friend. Pass with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, I decided that this year was going to be the year of stunties. Probably not going to hold to that, but I did want to play some stunties. So I didn't have a Snotling team. I had a guy reach out, Sam, one of the people I played at Chaos Cup. It's like, hey, I'll paint you a team since, you know, you're cool and all. Give you a discount. I go, cool, let's do it. So he painted up a Snotling team for me, and they looked really cool. They're supposed to be...
What did you use?
What do you mean?
The new Snotlings, or did you use the no. old second edition Snotlings, or what?
No, it's a... I was just getting to that. So we decided to do a... I decided I like pirate teams, but I don't want to go down that road of pirate teams because there's just so many of them. But there was a guy selling a goblin team at Chaos Cup that was pirate themed that I liked. And then if I was going to do this, I decided, let's just do pirate themed stunty teams. And that way I can just do third party and be done with it. So he had someone print off the Snotling team from Calverta or something like that. Calverta, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
They look really cool. The one regular pump wagon, one is a pirate ship with a mast and sails. And he painted them all up. He put them in a box. He shipped them to me with zero padding. And half the team got destroyed in the shipment. So that wasn't great. So I was like, hey man, just so you know, they did not survive. He goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Then he fixed it. So that was cool. Sent over new stuff. Mostly everything survived that time. Again, these 3D printed, like you think the other stuff doesn't, it breaks easy. These break easy too, especially in the cold when they're getting shipped and they're getting jostled around.
I'm not a big fan yet of 3D printing because it feels like all the models break easy as well.
Yeah. And for like the ship, there was no way that ship was going to make it in one piece. There's a giant sail and they're attached by teeny tiny little lines. And there's just like thinner than spaghetti, like ridiculous. So I didn't even bother having that redone. So now it's just a base of a ship with a mast, which makes more sense for Snotlings anyways. So no big deal. But to start off with, the team's not doing hot. They're a little cursed because they like to break. So, of course, what do I do? The morning of the event, I've got my team, I got my bag, and I got everything because I'm taking some stuff to the event. And I put my team on top of all my stuff right outside the restroom. As I use the restroom real quick, I open up the door and I watch my team in slow motion fall to the ground, and the whole thing just splatters and scatters everywhere. So I lost both Fun Hoppas. The goblins are off of them. Throughout this whole thing, all my stilties were fine. Stilties never had an issue. But just a lot of the other stuff keeps breaking off. And I was like, this figures. So we end up going to get some breakfast, Mickey D's. Went down there, met up with everybody at a Starbucks before the store opened. It's nice to see everyone. Tony from the Arizona area, Tucson. He's actually running an event in Tucson that I was emailing him back and forth a while ago about possibly going. And lo and behold, he shows up. So it was nice to finally meet him. And a couple of the guys that we had lunch with at Chaos Cup were there. Some people from, I think, Nebraska, some people from Missouri. A lot of people showed up for this event that I did not expect to show up. It was, like, no offense to the event, it's just a lot of, for 20 people, there was a lot of out-of-state people, which I thought was cool.
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it sounds like an event ran here.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is, yeah. So, do all this. We get set up. Now, Darren is the guy that I played second round at the Elf tournament, and he's the one who ended up winning that Elf tournament. And he and I teamed up to play a stunty squad, essentially. So, mm-hmm. just like a Moracle Cup or a lot of places, you know, you have a certain number of points that you can take. Well, we took low enough teams that we qualify for the secondary award of, you know, best low number squad. He took Goblins, and I took Snotlings, and we were just playing for fun. So, it was nice. First round, with my Snotlings, got to play Tony. That was really cool. So had a fun game with him and his Chaos Dwarves against Snotlings. No, it's not good. For my Riotous Rookies, I rolled a 6. So I was able to bring in a bunch of rookies. What do I use to denote rookies? My bases with no figures. And they just have a leg. Because I have a lot of those. It's real easy to tell which figures were the Riotous Rookies.
Okay.
So I won the choice. I chose to receive and try to see if I can't take some pieces off the pitch. I've never played this team before. There's a lot of secret weapons. I took every position. I should probably tell you what I took, huh?
Maybe.
Let me pull out my roster. Excuse me while I whip this out. The Funga Lupton Ooliganis. Don't ask me why this whole team was named after Dua Lipa and that her songs.
You're just as bad as everybody else.
No. At least this was a pun. Funga Lupta Ooliganis is a good name. You tell me Funga Lupta can't be a team? Like Fort Lupton? I mean, come on. Anyways, I'm not arguing with you. I'm right. I took 2 trolls, 2 pump wagons, 2 stilties, 2 fun hoppers, 2 fungus flingers, 4 or 5 linemen, and skitter stab stab. 1 troll had block, 1 had strong arm. Pump wagons were naked. Stilty, both of them had diving tackle and sure feet. The fun hoppers both had strip ball. Both fungus flingers had leader. And then I had a lineman with sneaky git. I took 4 rerolls, and this event allowed you to take 3 bribes for 100K. So I took 3 bribes. And some people were questioning me, like, why do you have leader on 2 people? Well, fungus flingas, along with most of the others, are secret weapons. So that's why. And it came in handy. So for kickoffs, I determined using both trolls, 1 of each secret weapon, would just make the most sense. And then I can keep my bribes for, you know, other stuff. So with the weather, the ball goes pretty much exactly to the end zone. Skitter ends up getting it. I tried my first foul, immediately got double ones. Not doing great. Second term, I do knock him down a bunch. I go to foul again, and again get caught. And this time I rolled a 1 on Argue the Call. So my fouling attempts are not going great. I got lucky his second turn, and he failed his blitz with the Minotaur and couldn't re-roll. So then I moved myself up and protected. I was able to casually a dwarf, which was nice, but he was able to use his Apoth and get him back. I did end up scoring on turn 5, as I just couldn't sit back and hold out, because he's Chaos Dwarves again. Then for this next drive, I did not bring in my pump wagon, as I wanted them both for the second half. He ends up casualing 2 snots after getting the ball. He's going up the side closest to him, but I'm able to do some shenanigans and get Skitter on the ball carrier and stabbed him. So not only did it work, I was able to casualty the hobo.
Mm-hmm.
So he only had 3 hobos to begin with. Now he's down to 2. If I can get rid of the other 2, we're doing pretty good. Last play of the half, he ends up casualtying a troll, but I did regen, so that was nice. He did not score the first half, so I was leading 1-0. Second half, I was able to bring in 2 trolls, 2 pump wagons, and still have all my positionals. I was getting low on snots, as you would expect, but not too bad since I had the 6 from the Riotous Rookies. Ends up changing the weather second half to rain, so that was nice. Then he ends up KOing 3 of my snots, so starting to lose people really fast. My turn 1, I casually eat a hobo with a bomb. I got a 1 first time I threw it. This is a pattern you'll see for the rest of the tournament. But then when I rerolled it, I was able to casually a dwarf. I got the hobo with the bomb, so straight up casually there. And then one of the dwarves went down, did not casualty him, but I got him with the foul. And my dice are just red hot with pals and getting 11s and 10s everywhere. So really helped out. He does have the ball, but I work it to where I dodge 4 times with Skitter and was able to stab the ball carrier because I was in the like 2 other tackle zones, but I failed and, you know, tried. He does end up casualing a couple more snots. My last shot that I had to keep him from scoring was basically to blitz with the Fung Hoppa. 3 dice against his ball carrier. I do have strip ball and reroll. So I do the 3 dice uphill, skull, skull, both down. I reroll, push, push, and skull, unfortunately. So I end up casualing myself. He ends up stalling because he's worried about my 1 turn touchdown. And
that's valid.
It is, but it was like 5 turns, and I was really low on snotlings.
Oh.
Okay. So I did finally get 1 last turn, but the ball goes all the way to the sidelines, and I have no chance to throw. Ended up 1-1, but I'm happy with the, you know.
Yeah, I'm tied. I mean, good, yeah. Right?
I'm not going to complain. Like, really, I did not expect to get a tie against freaking Chaos Dwarves. And at the end, he was, you know, we were talking, and I made it clear even during the actual game, because I was like, you really shouldn't be, like, stalling this much. I get it. You're worried, but, you know, you have plenty of time. And but he stalled. He took the tie. More than happy to go with the tie. So it was weird. And again, I understand where he's coming from. He did ask his teammate. So this is part of that whole team dynamic. It's like, hey, you know, are you winning? Should I go for a win? I think his team squad mate was winning. So he figured the tie would be just fine.
Sure. So I was here to ask, like, was the squad mate right next to him and stuff? So you answered that question. So
that's one complaint, and really it's not really a whole complaint, but one suggestion I gave to Robert was, especially when there's only 2 people on the squad, it would be nice if we played next to each other, but we didn't.
Oh,
it was really, you just go ahead and find a place to play and go. And okay. I mentioned the fact, you know, we have our table tents, because he was mentioning like how it's just hard because people just want to, you know, go wherever they want to go and do that. I'm like, I get it. But I did mention, like, in the future, I personally would do the table tents, saying table 1, table 2, blah, blah, blah. So squad 1, table 1, table 2, there, you figure it out. Squad, you know, just do it that way. I don't know.
But it seems like you'd feel themey if you were playing right next to your buddy.
But it's probably not easy, again, because I don't think in the system has it set up as squads, right? So therefore,
okay. I get what you're saying.
You're not matching squad to squad. You're still matching person to person. And then you'd have to figure out who's on which squad, and then
okay.
So I do get
it's a team event, but it's not team versus team. It's a tournament where you compare your scores at the end of the day.
To my understanding, yes.
Okay, but it's not team versus team. Like, if you win it all, it's not like my team went undefeated necessarily.
Right, and again, I could be wrong on that. it's nice just to go to a tournament and play and not have to worry about the rules.
100%.
And when I'm playing 100%. Snotlings, trust me, I'm not paying attention to how this, best to win.
This week of trying to get people to turn in rosters, and not everybody has.
Worst ever. This has been our worst ever. We will talk about it in the recap, I'm sure. But we are 4 or 5 days away from, I leave in 2 days. And we're at half, maybe, a little more than half.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Really bad this time.
It's really, really bad. People aren't saying, anyways,
yeah, we'll worry about it later. For lunchtime, I was going to go to Chili's with Craig, Arthur, and Kellen. But as I was walking out, TJ was walking in with pizza. So I just decided to stay there and have free pizza and chat with everybody. Pizza was really surprisingly good. And then it was just nice to chat with people. So, because you don't get a good chance to talk with people when you're playing games. Round two went up against Arthur's Wood Elves. The last time Arthur and I played was at Skull Cup, where I casualtied his Griff with my beer boar. So he was wanting to get revenge.
Sure enough.
And this was Wood Elves again, as I mentioned. So I got 3 snots on the Rydus rookies. Arthur's a great guy. We just ended up talking and BSing and stuff. We forgot to do a kickoff event. Just like straight up. Because, you know, we do the Rydus rookies and we got to chatting and then we just like started the game. So totally forgot. Not a whole lot happens until my turn 3. I ended up failing a stab on the ball carrier. And then turn 4, he scores. They're Wood Elves. It's pretty much what they do. On kickoff, the ball bounces around the line of scrimmage about 10 times and goes to Troll, to Pump Wagon, to Snotling, to Pump Wagon, to Troll, to Pump Wagon, Snotling. 10 times easy. Finally ends up on his side, so I gave the ball to Skitter, as you would. I did foul one of his line women. They were female figures. But in the end, I got caught, but it was worth it. I was able to get her off the pitch. Turn 5, Arthur surprised me. And this is... I talked to him afterwards, maybe during it. This comes from him playing Snot... He plays a lot of stunty teams. So he gets more of a courageous streak in him sometimes. I did not expect this. Turn 5, he went around my line with the catcher. He did 2 dodges and 2 go for it's to get a 1 die block on Skitter. Like, I knew he had movement. I knew he could probably hit Skitter, but I didn't think he would. And even if he did, it'd be 1 die. So he got 1 die. He got a pal and ended up casualing him. So that was annoying as hell. I ended up just grabbing the ball and trying to throw for a touchdown, but my stupid troll tried to eat him. I re-rolled out of it, thankfully. So I was still able to throw. I was able to get the touchdown. I went to go use my bribes on my pump wagon, and I failed 2 in a row. He ends up scoring on turn 8, but then I have 1 turn. Ball goes in a bad spot, but then we get a timeout. On my last turn, I got the ball, I gave it to my Hoppa, and the troll picks him up, and this time he does eat him. So my dice are just not working out for me. Second half, I do receive. 2 of my big guys decided to roll 1s on really stupid, so that does not help. The ball and team is on the sideline by him. Then second turn, I get the ball and hand it off, run down to the end zone by my side of the pitch to where I'm completely safe and clear for turns. The thing is, it took me all 4 of my rerolls to do it. Failed the pickup, failed the handoff, failed to dodge. Like, I failed everything it could. Took 4 rerolls, the most I've ever used in 1 turn, not including skills, actual rerolls. But I was so far away from him that I was able to just to really position up, protect myself, and be good. So I just kept stalling. I was able to casually award answer on a foul. Next turn, I casualty to catcher with a foul. By turn four, I casualtied another catcher with a foul. He's dodging. He gets around my cage, and then he fails or falls. But now that he has a ward answer by the ball, I surround and foul and KO'er. At this point, he only has three people on the pitch. I have a giant cage by the end zone. And I think I'm fine. Because my ball carrier is by the sideline. He's two places up from the end zone. He'd have to dodge through five tackle zones or whatever to get to the ball carrier. I've got my troll that I just moved in what I thought was a better position. I forgot something. And again, Arthur plays a lot of stunty, and he did not forget it. He starts going down the end zone and dodges and dodges and dodges and dodges. And finally, he gets a two or whatever. And I'm like, or three. I'm like, oh, you fall because of the tackle zones. No tackle zones. There's no negatives to titchy players.
Right.
I completely forgot. So he was able to get right up on me and with one die knocked me down. I lost the ball. It does not go out of bounds. What sucks is I could have moved the troll up to the end zone and blocked him, or at least put a real tackle zone in. I just didn't think about it. So I have my last turn. I go to pick up the ball. I fail. I just had to walk in. That was it. So I end up losing 2-1. But it was close. Like, it should probably have been a tie if I wasn't stupid, but I was stupid. And he got some lucky rolls and was very aggressive, which I didn't expect. But it was a great game. I almost pitch cleared him. He was down to one person there at the end. One person.
Wow.
Round three, went up against Archie. He's probably listening, so he is a younger kid. Again, I don't know how old he is. No offense, Archie. I'm just not good. I'm an old guy. I don't know how old kids are.
Usually kids are between like one.
He was not one.
Zero.
He was not zero.
To like 18, and then
he was not 18.
Okay. Well, at 18 they turn into adults. So
it's
like
true.
0 to 17. So he was somewhere in that range.
I would guess 10, 11 ish. I'm bad. He's a pretty good player, and like I mentioned last time, he's a Cubs fan, so we got to talking about that. I only got two.
Tricked him. You distracted him.
Well, sure. I only got two right as rookies this time. Not great, but whatever. He received my turn. I end up KOing two of his players. Oh, he was playing Slon, if I didn't mention. And he had a Crocs, which is nice. So I KO'd two of his people, one by a foul and one by a bomb. Again, every time I've done a bomb, I've gotten a one on the throw, and then I re-rolled, and it works great. And then I end up getting a lot of ones on my big guys. I got caught fouling, and I failed the argue the call. I used my argue the call on every foul, every secret weapon, every game, which is upwards of, I don't know, 20, 30 rolls, who knows. But I got a one time and zero sixes. So got caught, failed the argue the call. His turn three, his Crocs ends up double sculling and failing his loner, so that helped. My turn three, I was able to push his ball carrier out of bounds, but wasn't able to pick up the ball, so that wasn't great. I did end up getting the ball and going to the corner to stall again. Lots of stalling in this tournament, but it's what you do. One turn, his Crocs does get it both down. One turn, my troll got it. So they're just going back and forth, not doing a whole bunch. I do end up scoring on my turn 8. I didn't want to score early as he had 6 people in the KO box. So I'm taking out his people in the KOs, and it's important to keep him there, so I didn't want to give him 2 chances. So I did end up just scoring on the last turn. Second half, he only got 2 of the 6 out of the KO box, so that was nice. I kicked the ball to me, and again, the ball goes to the end zone. Skidder does get it and move up. I have the numbers on him big time. By my turn 3, I've got 3 big guys, and they all roll really stupid, every single one of them. But I do end up getting Skidder by the end zone and just start stalling some more. I end up KOing 2 more of his people on turn 5. I went ahead and scored on turn 6 as he had 6 people in the KO box again, and I was sure I could hold out, keep him from scoring 2 touchdowns in 4 turns. He ends up getting 2 out of the 6 back. I only got 1 out of my 4. Again, I do fail all my argue the calls. Then I also end up failing 2 bribes again on my pump wagon. So my bribes are freaking horrible too. I'm able to get the ball with Skidder because at this point he's just going for casualties. That's the main takeaway from this, is he was more worried about casualties than the ball, especially on this last one. So I was able to score my turn 8. He only got 1 of his 5 casualties or KOs back this time. I end up winning 3-0, but really the KOs is what screwed him, because he was not getting players back. And when I have the advantage and I'm able to gang foul or just knock him down with my big guys, not a whole lot you can do. But had a great day. Went 1 win, 1 tie, 1 loss. Definitely not going to complain about that for my first time ever playing Snotlings. Darren and I did get underdog champs for the best squad record for the lowest points. So Darren said he was playing Goblins.
Explain that again.
So again, it's your... I don't have the rules in front of me, so I don't remember how many points. But your squad was given a certain number of points that they could take. So let's say 6 points. If you took 3 points and under, which we did because we took a 2-point team for Goblins or a 1-point team for Goblins, 2-point for Snotlings, whatever it was.
Okay, so of the lowest...
Yeah, if you're
possible teams, you were the highest ranked among them.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So that was really good. And Darren got best stunty, I believe, because he did great.
So he carried you.
Wouldn't say carried, but it helped. Overall winner was Ray Varela. I don't have the awards for the other people. I apologize. But it was a great day. Had a lot of fun. And I'd look into it, but I just saw your lights flash. So yeah, overall, like I said, great time. I don't have much else to say. I'll wrap this up. I'm really enjoying getting to play a whole bunch of tournaments up here when every other month is really nice.
That you don't have to run?
That I don't have to run, yes.
Yeah, that's always nice.
I will be running a lot here shortly, but that's for a different topic. So let's wrap this up and we'll come back with some shout outs.
Okay. We'll be right back.
And the final part of the show where the gnomes like to yell.
They go
shout outs.
Okay. I did not know what you were going to do there. Okay.
I was trying to make a funny voice.
God, what stories to tell about that. We would have a whole second podcast if Scott could do a funny voice.
Hold on a second. I'll get you a funny voice. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, if you ever meet us in person, or we might tell it some other time in the future, ask us about that second podcast. It's an interesting story.
What's that?
Nothing. I was talking to the other people.
Okay, you ready for your funny voice?
Sure. You're gonna
shout out.
That didn't even come off funny. I had a helium balloon here, but it didn't do what it was supposed to do. So never mind. Well, I was trying to be funny.
Okay. Anyways,
nice try. I'm probably gonna get helium poisoned.
Okay. We have lost the plot.
That sucks. I'm supposed to change my vocal cords, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
That'd have been really funny if it worked.
Maybe not.
Okay.
So shout out to Robert and TJ for running Co-op Cup. Had a blast. Shout out to Craig for driving always. It's always a nice thing. We did end up getting Five Guys on the way back, and my ticket number was 69.
Okay. The love for Five Guys is just out. I mean, that's fine.
Craig loves it. It's his after tournaments traditional thing. It's stupid expensive, but it is really good, so I'm not going to complain too much.
It's good, but it's not good enough to warrant the price. But yeah. That's just my opinion.
I got a hot dog this last time, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But
would you pay $10 for a hot dog?
Let's not get into it.
Okay.
It was not that bad. Not that far off. big shout out to GW, as always, for sending us stuff, letting us see stuff early, and always being a nice way to just flex on people, I guess.
Thanks for the digital file.
Be nice.
No, I am being nice. I just wish it was a physical copy so I could have took it and read it. And
yeah.
I'm never going to be really good about reading digital files.
No, I'm
especially
with you.
That are like 32 pages long.
I had to force myself to do it. But yeah.
Yeah, I know. And we had to, and that's okay. And I'm sure somebody ruined it, and that's why they had to watermark it with your specific name.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get it. So it is what it is. Thank you very much for that. What other shout outs you got here? I was going to shout out somebody, and happy birthday to Jimmy Roofer. I don't even know if he still listens to this, but today is his birthday, and we met him through Blood Bowl, and I don't even think he plays or cares that much about it anymore, but I know he follows me for board games, and we talk occasionally about some Dragon Ball and board games, so
that's good.
It doesn't matter. The origin of the friendship is Blood Bowl. He was actually the first winner of Boner Storm at that first Chaos Cup we went to.
That's true.
He's the first Boner Storm champion.
We should totally do a Boner Storm Volume 2. Version 2.
I had a shout out for somebody and I can't. Oh, I do remember it. Shout out to young college age kid working at Office Max, or I'm sorry, Office Depot, when I was getting the prints done for this weekend's tournament, the limited edition prints or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Which we haven't talked gentleman about. Right away goes, "Oh, is this Blood Bowl?" And I said, "Yeah."
What?
And I was like, "You know Blood Bowl?" And he goes, "Oh, my dad used to play it and has stuff around the house." And so I jotted on a piece of paper our website. And I said, "Well, I went through the whole spiel. I do a podcast that was started many moons ago, 13 years ago, and it's still going on. And we run tournaments." He's like, "Really?" And so I don't know. I'm hoping this is a seed that gets planted and one day some man that's probably my age will show up at a tournament and go, "Hey, my son, you met my son." But he didn't know right off by the artwork.
That's cool.
That Tom did that, Blood Bowl. So there we go. Huh.
I wanted to give a shout out to Luis Clavijo. He is in, I will just go ahead and read the email and then I'll explain it.
Okay.
He says, "I have been playing Blood Bowl for 25 years, managed a lot of tournaments and leagues, and after all this time, we finally have a national tournament. It will be in Bogota on June 1st and June 2nd, 2024. We're looking for promotion, blah, 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 blah." So I told him I'd send him stuff because, I mean, I like helping other people, but especially in other nations and South America. So Colombia is having their first national tournament in Bogota. So
that's
how cool is that?
Cool. That is cool.
I told him we'd send him some stuff after Oklahoma Bowl, so I'll make sure to get some fancy stuff sent down to him. And then maybe make it down there sometime in the future.
Just tell Steve you'll get a patch that he can start filling in for countries in South America, and Steve will probably
not. You know, no, I can't do that. There's too many countries in South America that are not going to run events.
He'll go on a tour of South America.
Now, so continents, that's a whole different thing. There's only seven of those. I think that's it. Shout out to everyone I played, everyone met at the tournament.
But we haven't met them yet, so how can you say that?
What if, at the tournament I was
at.
What
if you had a bad experience?
I was at. Oh, at the, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about today's tournament as this gets released.
Jeez.
Because we might have a bad experience. We don't know.
Shout out to everyone at Oklahoma Bowl and Spiky Cup, which is going on now, and we're freaking out and hopefully having a good time. We shall see.
Hopefully.
But that will be on the next episode. I'm sure we'll have a recap. Anything else before we wrap this up?
Not that I can think of. I'm checking the Stormwatch here again.
Yeah. Well, let's just go ahead and wrap this up so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, looks like there's some southwest of me moving this way. But
I will say I do not miss that at all. I don't have to worry about tornadoes, knock on wood.
So this is how the day went. Family members text several of them, kept bothering my wife, or Jennifer, not officially my wife before somebody asked. Anyways, it's easier just to say my wife. Anyways, Jennifer, so then got her geared up because she has storm anxiety anyways, like a lot of people around here does. Then I watched it and made an education decision from what I could tell. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but everybody else is going to freak out about it. And sure enough, she started having cancellations, and our oldest child, her son, Parker, decided to, not going to work because he was listening to the hype on Facebook from other people who said this was going to be like, April 20th or some notoriously famous day of really bad weather.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, you need to go to work. You've only had your job for a week. And it didn't listen to me. So, and we just got rain so far. I mean, we've had some flickers now after 9 o'clock, but this stuff started at like 1 and 2 o'clock with people, the older crowd, getting really worked up and believing the hype that everything's going to be gloom and doom. And, you know, yeah. I usually gripe about our weather guys feeding into it. The weather guy I watched, and it was David Payne, and you know how he is. Even he was saying, it's going to happen. It's just not going to be widespread. You might not get anything today, you know, type deal and stuff. People think, just because they tell you storms are coming, that it's going to be everywhere and it's going to be a hurricane and it's not here, you know?
No, but so, it does suck having to worry about it.
Yeah. So a lot of people tonight have watched weather from about 3 o'clock to now, or and canceled events. They canceled Wakeland's little concert tonight that I could have watched and then came home recorded without any rain falling in the city of Moore at that point. So it's just, it is what it is. I bet it's nice not to worry about that, but you get a lot of snow, buddy.
No, I don't. No, not up here. Denver does. You don't? We don't. Oh. Like this whole area, again, I'm like 35, 40 minutes or so northeast of Denver. This is more the plains land than mountainous. So snow drops on the mountains, comes over, still has a whole bunch, drops it on Denver, places like that. And then by the time it gets to us up here, barely anything.
It just wore out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
I did have another shout out to Stimmy, tournament director. His new tournament director blog has a article or a portion written by me about my Bison series that I'm running.
I forgot about that. I think that was the other thing. Yeah, you got to write something for the NAF. Yeah. You feel good?
I mean, it's always nice to get out there, I guess, but it made me realize how much driving I'll be doing, and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you're going to be a lot, so you can fill in your patch.
Mm-hmm. But also just to see the country and see do stuff.
Right, it has nothing to do with the patch.
Again, partially, yes, but I want to see Mount Rushmore anyways. why else would I'm not just going to go there to do nothing.
I'm going to admit
that really is where this came
place,
from.
That is one place that I would like to go visit.
Like this, I literally was sitting here thinking, I'm up this way. What are some places I should hit while I'm here? And I thought Mount Rushmore would be cool and Devil's Tower in Wyoming.
Yep.
But I was like, am I going to go that far for nothing besides that? Like, I get it. Mount Rushmore, I'm going to look at it for an hour, if that. And then I'm done. I'm not driving 8 hours for that. But I throw in a Blood Bowl tournament. I initially was going to do one in that town right next to it. But it's just so far away from everyone. And then I was looking at other places, and I was like, well, if I'm doing other places further away, then why don't I look at, like, I'm this, you know, South Dakota is pretty close to North Dakota, where, you know, Sioux Falls to Fargo is only like 3 hours. Maybe we could do two tournaments, you know? And then I was like, well, what if I do more? And then it just kind of came out of that. Now, the hitting every state also is part of it, which, again, is not so much for the patch, it's just for doing it. And now coming to find out that the patch is pretty much only given out by Nate Beam at tournaments that he goes to, and he's not going to many, I'll have to make my own patch or something. So,
Sounds like a project.
It is indeed. But, oh well.
All right, my man. I'm going to get off here in case this thing hits me.
Totally understood.
And we've already went on a tangent after we said we were done.
That never happens with us.
No, never with us. So I'm going to sign us off from Steve, from Scott. We love you. We'll see you around.
If you'd like to email Both Down, the email address is bothdownpodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at bothdown.com or at facebook.com/bothdown.
Hello, my old chum. I'm not a gnelf. I'm not a gnoblin. I'm a gnome, and you've been gnomed.